sources of growth that were there in the past can no longer be sources of growth and job creations in the future.
South Africa's economic challenges in this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. Twenty years after the fall of apartheid, South Africa has emerged from its deeply divided past a robust democracy that's worked hard toward improving the lives of all its citizens. And though the quality of life for many South Africans has significantly improved through greater access to education, healthcare services, and rising income levels, the IMF says South Africa's economy isn't growing as much as it should. In fact, while the sub-Saharan African region is experiencing growth levels above 5% according to the IMF, their annual review of South Africa's economy pegs growth this year at only 1.4%, predicting it will rise slightly to 2.1% in 2015.
Yes, so the IMF carries out this review of all its member countries once a year, typically.
Laura Papi is the IMF mission chief for South Africa and took part in the review process. I asked her what's holding South Africa back.
So South Africa is richer than the rest of the continent, but at the moment faces some challenges and especially suffering from the fact that global demand is not very strong and its main trading partners are still outside of the region. And hence, anything that can reduce the supply of foreign capital in a significant way could have an important impact on the economy. But it also suffers from structural constraints. And the most notable ones most recently are the fact that electricity availability is constrained. And also we've had several strikes that have disrupted the production process.
Are commodity prices affecting growth in any way?
Yes, commodity prices are not helping, and of course they were helping in the boom years, but the main factors seem to be more related to the structural constraints that I mentioned, as well as the fact that external demand is still quite weak.
As the Ebola crisis has clearly demonstrated, the unexpected can really devastate an economy when it's unprepared. How resilient is South Africa's economy right now?
So I think with respect to the Ebola situation, there could be some decline in tourist revenues. However, we don't expect that this would be a significant phenomenon from the point of view of the overall economy in South Africa. South Africa's economy has some important sources of resilience. For example, if it's hit by an external shock, it's the fact that its exchange rate is very flexible helps buffer against that shock.
So would those potential economic shocks come from their trading partners in Africa?
So they're still more vulnerable to shocks that originate, for example, in global financial markets. And although Sub-Saharan Africa is increasingly becoming a very important trading partner, still, as an individual market, China is more important.
So the IMF is also concerned with rising debt levels in many countries in Sub-Saharan Africa, and especially in South Africa as well. Should South Africa be throwing more money at infrastructure projects like building more power plants, regardless of their rising debt levels?
So as you mentioned, the two key power plants are under construction, and those are very important projects which will relieve this important constraint that the country faces. So we are not advocating that they should cut spending in this key sector. This is absolutely a key priority. But on the fiscal side, we are advocating, as the government very much has recognized in the most recent fiscal policy statement, they will take measures to achieve a reduction in the deficit. The two are not inconsistent. The deficit can be reduced by a combination of measures, increasing taxes, as well as reducing some other expenditure, especially on the consumption side, which is less productive.
You mentioned also labor issues. The labor unions in South Africa have traditionally always been very strong. But recently, that coalition of trade unions called COSATU seems to be breaking up, indicative of a truly troubled labor market. How is the IMF suggesting that South Africa deal with its extremely high unemployment levels?
So what we've noticed is that the days lost to strikes, which entail a loss for workers, for firms, for also the prospects of investment, have increased in recent years. So as the government has said, there is really a need to come to more constructive industrial relations. That's definitely a high priority. In terms of unemployment in South Africa is mostly structural.
And by structural, you mean there are never enough low-skilled jobs.
And there are a variety of reasons why that's the case. And we have advocated policies which are partly in the National Development Plan, such as improving skills and improving educational outcomes, as well as making the labor market work for everybody, not just the insiders, but to give opportunities to all the people of South Africa.
Are these recommendations new out of this review, or have there been similar recommendations made in previous reviews?
So these are our long-standing recommendations, I would say, but the urgency of carrying out these structural reforms has increased. And the reason why it has increased is because sources of growth that were there in the past, such as credit growth, higher commodity prices, expansionary fiscal policy, these sources of growth can no longer be sources of growth and job creations in the future. So the thing that can kickstart the economy is really addressing these structural constraints. As Minister Nene said, these are domestic constraints and hence things that are in the government's powers to fix.
Laura Poppy, IMF Mission Chief for South Africa, talking about South Africa's economic challenges. If you like this podcast, you can hear more at soundcloud.com/IMF-podcasts. You can also read about this topic and more at blog-imfdirect.imf.org.